Last time we were in this 28th chapter of Isaiah, and we got down to about the 26th verse. We had several real important principles taught in this chapter. And to me, one of the most outstanding ones is found back in the 10th verse, where we have the people of Judea criticizing God for the way in which he taught them his word. And the description that they gave was, "For precept must be on precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." They were accusing God of treating them like children and not treating them like grown-ups. But we find that God teaches his word today in the same way that he did then. Rule upon rule, rule upon rule, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Man becomes unhappy with this, and one of the things that he does to counteract God's way is to devise what he calls a creed. He wants to take the things that he considers to be the most important and concentrate all these things in a small, compact form so that he can turn through real quickly and get the bulk of what he would consider then to be the doctrine. But that's not God's way. And we find that the true church was not going to be following a creed or a rule book that somebody has concocted out of the Bible. But we're simply going to take the Bible as it's written, line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We're going to take it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, word by word, and make application of it within its context. Well, toward the end of this chapter, beginning in verse 23, he begins to show why God deals with man in different ways and why he brings about chastisement or punishment upon man. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. That's verse 23. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches, and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley, and the rye in their place? And what he's saying here is that the farmer doesn't spend all of his time plowing. He doesn't spend all of his time breaking up the clods. But when he gets that done, and he gets the made plain the face, that is, he's smoothed out the face of the soil, then he plants different seeds. He plants some called the fitches, and some called the cumin, and some that he calls here the principal wheat, some that's the pointed barley or the seed barley, and then the rye in their place or in the border. So he plants different crops in different places in his farm, showing that the farmer is continually working, but he's not always doing the same thing. If he spent all of his time plowing, he wouldn't reap a crop. Nor if he spent all of his time sowing, would he reap a crop. Nor if he planted all of his crop in one thing, would that be the most profitable thing. So his interest and his activities are very varied. And the reason for this is so that he can get the most out of his farm and his crops. So in verse 26 he says, "For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him." And this doesn't mean that the farmer would be miraculously and divinely inspired by God as to how to farm, but it does mean that the more he knows about God's ways and God's plan, the better he's going to be able to farm. And so the good farmer is going to be one who will be like a person that's been instructed by God and taught by God as to how to do it, because he's going to be farming according to the principles of nature that'll be the most productive and the most fruitful. He's going to be doing the things that'll be the best for all things concerned, the best for his land, the best kind of crops, and the best preparation and use of those crops. And so it is, as we live the Christian life today, or any time that a person living under God's law, we're going to be working in harmony with all of the laws of nature as well as the laws of the Spirit. And the more in harmony we are with the natural laws that God has set into order in this life, the better person we're going to be, the happier we're going to be, the better perspective we're going to be as to what's going on, and we'll be able to fit ourselves within God's master plan. But as sure as we start going against some of His laws of nature as well as His spiritual laws, then we're going to find ourselves a misfit in this life and really never attaining happiness nor the maximum efficiency of our ability to produce. Then in verse 27, "For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod." Now the fitches was a herb, probably dill, and the cumin were seeds used for seasoning or sauces. And so he says, you don't thrash the fitches with a threshing instrument, nor do you run a cartwheel over them. A threshing instrument was a sled that had some sharp edges, and they had this sled pulled around over the grain by a horse, or maybe they didn't have a horse, but it was some kind of a beast of burden. And as this sled ran over it, it would separate the chaff from the grain, and it would constitute the threshing. But that would be too harsh a treatment to give to the fitches and to the cumin. Rather than to do that, rather than to roll a cartwheel over them, that was another means of threshing, while they were beaten out, he says, with a staff and the cumin with a rod. They used a different method of threshing for these more delicate seeds than they did some of their other crops. And so it is today when God metes out His chastisement or His punishment to us so that He will correct and improve and ultimately be able to save us. The same punishment is not given to the same person, nor is the same punishment given under all circumstances. God's going to fit the punishment to the need, just as the farmer fits the method of threshing to the type of plant or harvest that he's threshing. Now in verse 28 he says, "Bread corn is bruised." Now the word bruised there means it's thrashed. It has a heavy threshing tool applied to it, either this threshing sled or the cartwheel. And the word bruised here does mean to be threshed, and bread corn would imply that it was the kind of corn that was used to make bread out of. Bread corn is bruised, so it is threshed with the heavy threshing methods. Because, and the word because means although or but, so it would really say, although he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. Now, to bruise it with his horsemen would be to pull this sled over it, or to have the horses trample it, to use the wheel of the cart, be to run the wheel of the cart over it. But he says, but he will not ever be threshing it. That is, he's not going to continually, without stopping, without ceasing, thresh this corn. He's going to thresh it just enough to separate the chaff from the wheat, and then he's going to stop the threshing process. So he doesn't spend all of his time threshing either. He doesn't spend all of his time sowing, nor plowing, nor reaping, nor threshing. Threshing is just for a temporary time, just to accomplish the benefit that he needs for that particular operation. And it's although it's going to bruise this corn, it's going to thresh it, it's going to bring about some kind of a change in it, he doesn't always thresh. And so it is with the Lord today. Whenever he chastises us or deals with us, it's not always in the same way. And if he sees fit to have to chastise us, he's not going to spend all of his time chastising us. It's not going to be a continual, never-ending thing, but it'll be for the purpose of bringing about our betterment. In the case of the bread corn, it was to separate it from the chaff so that he could have the good separated from the bad. In the case of ourselves, it'll be to separate us from evil or from some kind of a sinful practice that the Lord doesn't want us to be involved in. So as we look then at this little teaching from verses 23 through 29, we really have a comment given by Isaiah as to why and how God afflicts us in different ways. The reason that he gives us our afflictions is the same cause which induces the farmer to employ different methods on his farm. God's not going to always be punishing us, and if he does punish us, it's not going to always be the same punishment, nor will it be the same for one person as is given to another. And so we find then that God may deal with us in many different ways. And we're not going to pin God down and say, now he's limited to this, or he'll only do that, or he must do so and so. God can deal in many various ways with us, just as a farmer can be engaged in many different operations on his farm. So our afflictions will differ according to our needs. Yet God will not crush or completely destroy his people, just as the farmer does not destroy his grain, only enough to separate the chaff from the wheat. And so let us also realize that when he deals with us, when God deals with us, he deals with us for the purpose of bringing about our betterment. He's not trying to destroy us. He's not trying to make us worse. He's not trying to drive us away from him, but he's dealing with us to improve us in his sight. So I thought that was, and I still think that is a very interesting passage, those last six verses of this 28th chapter. And last time we had to break into the middle of them, so that's why we started over and kind of reviewed the whole thing here tonight. Well, now we're ready to enter into the 29th chapter of Isaiah. This 29th chapter is a separate prophecy from the 28th chapter.